Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. It's St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2017. 3-17-17, maybe that's a lucky day for us. It's 8 o'clock here on the West Coast. It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and I am delighted to invite back a friend of our show, Mr. Carl Grossman. Carl, thank you for joining us. I genuinely appreciate it.
Pleasure all the time, Lonnie.
Well, it is my pleasure to have you back on, and thank you for coming here and sharing your thoughts and ideas. You and I were talking about, you know, what we were going to talk about this morning right before the show, and I think one of the things we really need to discuss is the urgency for people to actively, and I mean, this is one of the things, when I saw this morning that Kentucky had voted to become a nuclear state after a long, long moratorium on nuclear, I think that to me, it reminded me how much it is important for us to actively engage our elected officials and to stay abreast of what's going on in your own state. At your own state level, because Kentucky just passed the end of a moratorium on nuclear, and they're going to start building nuclear power plants in Kentucky.
Mm, wow.
And I think that's a shock.
Yeah, it's in the middle of America, Kentucky, and in the wake of disaster after disaster, particularly, I mean, we're now just a couple of weeks away from, or a week away, really, from the sixth anniversary of the Fukushima disaster.
You mean when it actually blew up? I mean,
when the disaster started, because it's really ongoing.
That was last weekend, 3/11. That was the date.
The 11th. And, you know, in connection with the Fukushima disaster, some very important interviews with specialists in nuclear technology, Arne Gundersen, and let me just read a quote from an interview that Arne did. Fukushima Daiichi is an ongoing disaster that was never envisioned. Now, Arne Gundersen was a nuclear engineer. He was in the field for many years. He's based now in Vermont. In fact, listeners should, I would suggest listeners should connect to his organization's wonderful website. It's called Fair Winds, Fair like Fair, F-A-I-R-E, then Winds, Energy Education, and it's in Vermont, and the URL is fairwinds.org. In any case, Arne commented, this is an interview on BBC, The scientific impact of the triple meltdown of Fukushima Daiichi is an ongoing disaster that was never envisioned by the engineers who created and designed these atomic reactors and countries which built them. And then he goes on about the cover-up that continues, the health effects from the radioactivity from Fukushima, which is still streaming out, these radioactive poisons being camouflaged. And another a very important interview, too, in connection with the sixth anniversary was a nuclear engineer, Arjun Makajani, who is the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research that's based in Washington, D.C. And the quote by Dr. Makajani: Fukushima is the worst industrial cataclysm in the history of the world. Now, I know Makajani,
that is for sure.
And I know Arne Gundersen as well, and neither of these guys exaggerate. Makajani is, in my experience with him over the years, he's very, very, how can I put it, I don't want to say conservative, but he's conservative in his estimates. And here Makajani is talking.
I would call that cautious. They're not
cautious. Deliberative, perhaps, is a good word too.
Yeah.
And here is Makajani saying, Dr. Makajani, Fukushima, the worst industrial cataclysm in the history of the world, as close to hell as I can imagine. The contamination will go on for hundreds of thousands of years. No one knows when it'll end. And then he also speaks about government, and it's beyond the Japanese government, it's our government, and well, the international governmental authority in terms of the International Atomic Energy Agency and so forth. So it's more than one government. In any case, he also speaks of the ongoing cover-up. So in light of that, for Kentucky, for any state, for any country, to talk about nuclear power, and meanwhile also occurring in the last couple of weeks, so important, because nuclear power is not only dirty with all its poisonous radioactive substances being released and impacting on people, dangerous, and that stuff can come out in one fell swoop in a catastrophic accident like occurred at Chernobyl, or is continuing to occur at Fukushima, because there's just seemingly no way to contain it. Dirty, dangerous, and expensive. And in terms of the expensive component here, the Coke and Pepsi of nuclear power historically have been General Electric and Westinghouse, originally two American companies. They get their start during the Manhattan Project. They were given contracts to work on the atomic development during the Manhattan Project, and afterwards pushing to continue to do anything nuclear they can continue to help building nuclear weapons, and they did, but continuing to push anything nuclear so they can get more business. They got into the nuclear power plant field, but most listeners probably are not aware that in 2006, a company called Toshiba acquired Westinghouse's nuclear operation. And also in 2006, Hitachi, also a Japanese company, went into partnership with GE in its nuclear operations. So the two the Coke and Pepsi of nuclear power are now Japanese brands, basically. But meanwhile, Toshiba in recent weeks is the figure now is $7 billion in loss, maybe more. Toshiba is desperate to get out of nuclear. Maybe it drank the Kool-Aid.
Did you see that Japanese court found the government liable for the nuclear disaster, along with those responsible, along with the company of TEPCO?
Yeah, well, between TEPCO and generally, those six reactors at Fukushima were General Electric.
Right.
TEPCO, of course, is just what a utility. I mean, it's they lie like they breathe, that TEPCO. And at this point, with Abe, who was Trump's big buddy, one of the first visitors to Trump's White House was Shinzo Abe, who's this great supporter, great promoter of nuclear power. The Japanese are so busy right now trying to peddle these GE and Toshiba nuclear plants all around the world, even though former leaders of Japan, former prime ministers, have done 180-degree turn on nuclear in the wake of Fukushima. And in any case, with that as a backdrop, for Kentucky to talk about, and beautiful Kentucky. I went to college just a little north in Ohio, a little north of Kentucky, but I know Kentucky. And for beautiful, that bluegrass state invite, to welcome, to allow nuclear power, is just,
it's an
utterly,
offense.
Utterly outrageous, particularly in light of evidence. I mean, for years we've got a snow job from the nuclear promoters, the nuclear Pinocchios, that in major accidents weren't going to happen, and if they happened, they would be contained.
Look what they're doing in Japan. They're going to host the Olympics in Japan in 2020, and Fukushima, the baseball organization, they're going to have baseball events in Tokyo at the 2020 Olympics. They're hosting a baseball. I mean, it is beyond comprehension. 40 miles away. They're less than, it's 37 miles away where they've built the stadium to have the Olympics for baseball in Fukushima. They're doing it in Itati.
It's just denial with a capital D underlined 5-10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, the push in Japan right now is all the folks should eat food that's grown in the Fukushima prefecture.
Right.
It's all about, it's unbelievable. I mean, 100 years from now, if we're around at that point, and people go back and write the history of this nuclear nightmare, and how people were fooled, and countries were fooled, and corporations were fooled, and other corporations fooled other corporations, and the consequences were the word disastrous, catastrophic. These words don't tell the true story. What an epic in the history of the world, this nuclear power debacle, and Japan, a string of volcanic islands, which never. I mean, nuclear power plants shouldn't be anywhere, but on a string of volcanic islands subject to very, very huge movements of the earth that was, I mean, it's all incredible. And I'm waiting, too, back to, and I hate to go back to, but we have to go back to Trump. I mean, every day.
Yeah.
Another shoe falls in terms of that nightmare, whether it's just announced the new budget, which cuts the this is the proposed budget for 2018, which cuts the funding for EPA by 37%. I mean, here's an agency that was started by no tree hugger. I mean, it was Richard Nixon. It was his administration which created the Environmental Protection Agency, and it came after, well, Rachel Carson and her book Silent Spring, very, very important, and Earth Day, the first Earth Day, 1970, all this leading to the creation of this important agency which has been involved in protecting our air and water, and it's not perfect, never been perfect. But not because of imperfections, but because of the environmental good it has done. This Trump would essentially, him and the man he chose to head EPA, who was made a career of attacking EPA, Scott Pruitt, would dismantle EPA. I mean, that was just this week. Then we have
The House. How about the House passing the bill that terminates the EPA on December 31st, 2018? That bill passed, Carl. I mean, these people are completely insane. They have no regard. The left hand doesn't talk to the right hand. And unfortunately, they have nuclear weapons in both hands. I mean, that's the sad part. It's like Tillerson is out there saying that diplomacy didn't work with North Korea 2 or 3 days ago. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about us. And then today he's saying, well, all options are on the table, including nuclear. So, you know what I mean? They're complete. And Tillerson gutting the State Department. I mean, has kept us nuclear safe for 30, 40 years now. I mean, the reason these agencies have developed, especially at the State Department, is to do the background to keep us safe. And the instead of fixing the lobby, the reason that the EPA is every polluter's advocate is because of lobbyists inside. I mean, St. Louis is basically purchased by the polluters, by Republic Services, that catastrophe. Mm. Roy Blunt's son works for Republic Services, and he's a senator from Missouri.
Mm.
So these are the things that need to be outed and made illegal. I mean, that ought to be illegal, that anybody who's a senator, whose family has a whole, you know what I mean? Those regulations need to be tightened up, but instead, and in fact, I don't know how you feel about this, Carl, but it is the reason that we have had these catastrophes go on year after year, in my view, is because the Democrats gave up their democratic values. Nancy Pelosi told a questioner, well, you got to admit it now, we're a capitalistic society, you know, we're a capitalist society, live with it, kid. I mean, I unregistered from the Democratic Party the day that she said that. I was flabbergasted. So in my view, the Democrats are responsible for giving us the Trump nation. That's how I feel. I'm very angry. As a lifelong Democrat, and I consider myself a flaming liberal, and I would love to vote for the Democrats again, but you know what? They have to start caring and stop. To me, their hands are deep in the pockets of big regulators themselves, and I'm just like, I think the good thing about Trump, the Trump nation, is it's forced us to lean into it. A lot of people who would never actively engage are going, oh, wait a minute. We might. Are you kidding us? You know what I mean? People are freaking out. That's the best part.
Well, all over the country, even the town I live in here on Long Island, in the town of Southampton. And I was just recently told how at a meeting of the Southampton Town Democratic Committee, and it's a very progressive grouping of Democrats. I mean, this is an area of Long Island where we stopped the nuclear power plants, which were to be built here, in which the people of Long Island forced the shutdown of the two nuclear reactors at one of these national nuclear laboratories, Brookhaven Lab. So I understand your criticism of the Democrats, but this is a wing or a part of the Democratic Party here, which is kind of good. And the news I got just recently was at a recent meeting of the Southampton Town Democratic Committee, there was just loads and loads and loads of people like they've never seen, and most of these people were never involved in politics before. So one thing that is happening is that people who kind of didn't care, and I mean, now everybody's being affected, whether you I mean, on every front, this Trump administration is just undoing, whether it's Wheels on Meals, or whether it's the public broadcasting system, or whether it's the National Endowment for the Arts, or what, I mean, everything, in every area, this agency is utterly dismantling the federal government, other than for stuff that's Trump wants military and nukes. I mean, Trump wants money to restart this crazy Yucca Mountain nuclear repository. I mean, I wrote about that in great detail years ago, about how this site is on, my recollection, 69 separate earthquake faults.
Right.
I mean, it's riddled with, I mean, you shouldn't put nuclear waste there ever. It's such a crazy thing
right.
to do, and you got to give credit for Obama in stopping it. But now, in terms of what the Trump group would do, and it's a group. I mean, he has gotten such a collection of characters in this administration. Where they want to put the money is a military, as you say, and down the rat hole of a nuclear. I mean, these are such dark times, and it's so incumbent on everybody to just here's a little piece that was on Facebook last night, and it was written by a fellow I know. In fact, I used to share an office with him at Southampton College, where I taught journalism, and a guy named Michael Jody, who was a psychotherapist, and he taught psychology. And he goes on, talks about the executive branch. The executive branch were given an order yesterday inviting the head of every agency of the government to submit a plan within the next 6 months to eliminate part or all of any executive branch agency. That's right, writes Michael, eliminate. When we consider what the executive branch includes, Department of Energy, currently headed by Rick Perry, who said he wanted to shut down the Department of Energy during the campaign for president, EPA, Scott Pruitt, who has been battling EPA for years, a state currently headed by friend of Putin, Rex Tillerson, Department of Education, currently headed by Betty DeVos, who does not believe in public education. Treasury, headed by Goldman Sachs exec Steve Mnuchin, who has every reason to get every aspect, to gut every aspect of financial regulation. Justice, currently headed by Sessions, who basically doesn't believe in justice for anyone but white men. And on and on and on it goes. And then Michael writes, and this is in all capital letters, as it should be, now all these monstrous cabinet appointments make perfect sense, considering what is being done, what these people that Trump has named are doing. And then we need, and then capital letters, resistance, like our lives depend on it, because they just might.
They did. Well, Carl, I have been saying that actually, you know, the younger people don't have this experience with history. But to me, this is this wrecking ball cabinet. When he appointed this wrecking ball cabinet, it was very evident to me that he is doing this is the Alan Greenspan plan they're imposing on the United States. They did this to Chile. They imposed Pinochet on Chile and brought in, they gutted all of their agencies, militarized the police. And they just forced it on them. They created a, quote, controlled democracy in Chile. And this is their plan. I mean, honestly, we really do need to push back because they are seriously intent. It is very, very much the Alan Greenspan, the Chicago Boys idea. They couldn't do it in the 70s, so they went to South America. And this is really why Newt Gingrich is just smiling like a Cheshire cat. Because his plan for the new American century, this is the Trump nation, baby, and people do not remember history. They don't even see it coming. This is why people are shocked, because we have forgotten what the United States did to other countries, and they're doing it. We're the enemy now, and it's really stunning. I'm blown away by what's going on in our country.
Well, it's overwhelming. It's terrifying and overwhelming. I mean, there's always been this kind of crackpot right wing. At one point, it was formalized. It was the Know Nothing Party. You know, there's always been this element in this country, and now and then it kind of rises, like with Newt Gingrich or with the Goldwater effort and so forth. But here, these characters. These marginal characters are now they're now in control of the federal government. They're going to remake the Supreme Court and so forth and so on. I mean,
It's shocking. They have gutted everything we've worked for in the last 100 years to improve our country. You know what? Their followers want that. Like, to me, this is the interesting thing about Trump twittering, right? Using Twitter, which I object. I think he's promoting two private companies, which I think is illegal. He's promoting Facebook Messenger and he's promoting Twitter just by his very constant use
that's
of
true.
It as a
that's
political
true.
Platform. I think that's illegal, and I am shocked that we haven't seen lawsuits against that. But this is the thing with the Twitter, I think he's such an abuser. Like, he is such a batterer. He is battering this morning's tweet about the terrorists, the jihadis are coming in through these visa programs. This is battery. Every time he goes to Twitter, he punches us in the face. And what's interesting is the people that line up behind him are like the abused wives who refuse to speak out against their batterers. I mean, I believe that Americans want peace so badly that we are willing to take, you know, these people that believe in Trump. I have many relatives and I have many friends who think that Trump is a good guy, that he's finally doing something for America. Don't worry, Trump is going to set things straight. They have fundamentally do not believe. They have this is where I blame the Democrats. The Democrats have really 100% failed in showing the value of having a reasonably organized government, because the Democrats have gone. I mean, none of them. I think that they should have all voted against ever. I called up Heidi Heitkamp's office when she approved Mnuchin and these other people that they the few blue dog Democrats. They really are at the core heart of it. The Democrats, for them to put Tom Perez in, which tells us it's business as usual for the corporate Democrats, they're selling their souls and selling out America. And I think if we're going to have a two-party system, I really believe we need to lean in. I call the Democratic Party all the time, and I'm considered a lunatic because I call them up all the time.
Well, I think, you know, but the question is the timing here. I think people, the overwhelming majority of U.S. citizens don't agree with this.
Don't vote. The overwhelming
Many of them don't vote. That's a problem, too. But
that is the
I think
18% of the people vote. In a big election, we get 25% turnout.
Well, that's a huge, huge problem. But he is stepping on so many, it's beyond stepping on people's toes. He's stepping on their heads. He is, and it's not just him, his administration is ruining so much. I mean, now they're talking about studying cuts in Medicare and Social Security, what they've done or what they plan to do with Medicaid, which affects the most needy of people.
That's right.
I mean, this gets to the heart of what the federal government is supposed to be about, you know, to provide services and to help and so forth. So I think when people are able to express themselves, whether it's going to be in special elections, whether it's going to be in local elections next year, and this is very important, but this is a long way off, in 2 years, elections for the new elections for the House of Representatives and some for the Senate. I mean, even despite all the gerrymandering, what has been done has been so, again, overwhelming, so extreme, so radical. I mean, there were some people who thought that, once this character got into the White House, he would moderate himself. He wouldn't be as wild and nutty as he's been, but that's not happened at all, not at all. And I think most people, if given a way to express themselves now as to what this person and his gang are doing to this country, even through gerrymandering, well entrenched politicians will end up thrown out of office if people are given an opportunity in the next few years to and take the opportunity to express what they think about what this. I mean, there's still these Trumpites, these Trumpsters, unbelievable. They've drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yes, they have. They don't believe in the federal government. They think it's good that he's dismantling the government. They think that Obama is a traitor. Really, literally, they believe that. There's people that literally believe that Obama is living in Washington, D.C. so he can control the White House. Seriously. I mean, America is mentally ill. One of the things about nuclear contamination is it does cause schizophrenia and mental disorders. So I think this is, I actually think that climate change is a pseudonym for nuclear contamination, because I think nuclear contamination is the worst event on our planet. And it started, if you look at the spike global warming, when did it start? Right about the time we dropped how many bombs on our planet? How hard did we destroy the ecosystem with nuclear contamination? We may not have the nuclear radiation in high numbers, but it is there in small numbers and it's cumulative, but not just for humans, for even microscopic animals. And it's destroying the ocean's ecosystems. On top of, let's dump all the oil, let's dump all the trash, you know, they're still pouring Corexit into the Gulf. I mean, the disregard for human life by the technologists on this planet was something we were warned about when you first got engaged in this. That's how you guys were able to really stop them from doing this in the 70s. What happened is Fukushima woke everybody back up and we went, oh my God, we're really not done here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, to a large degree, to a very large degree, people got it. And, in terms of there's 99 nuclear plants in this country in operation today. Nixon had predicted by 2000, the year 2000, they'd be 1,000. So, I mean,
that is what they wanted. And in fact, look at what they did to France. That's really how densely they wanted it populated.
Well, in any case, people were getting to understand what nuclear was about. I mean, Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, I did a documentary on Three Mile Island and its consequences. You can just go online. You can see the piece I did on Three Mile Island. That was no minor accident. And now Fukushima, and people have begun to understand the new push for nuclear power, and there's resistance, but there needs to be so much more. We're talking about the horror show that we're in the midst of. We may even be in the beginning of.
Well, look at Tillerson's in the news today. He's threatening war with North Korea. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, I just think it's very important now that people listening, talking about the 70s, talking about the 60s, the slogan then was active today or radioactive tomorrow. And it's so important that people spend time to and make efforts to stop the horror. And one of the ways to do it is to connect with, there are some wonderful, some great organizations fighting the nuclear horror. Greenpeace International is just
International is great, but in my view, Carl, Greenpeace USA has some serious issues, just like 350.org, because they think that shutting down coal is more, quote, more important than shutting down nuclear. I personally believe they are one unit. Because really, honestly, we can't separate. We need to shut down coal immediately. We need to shut down nuclear immediately. And guess what? They're both the same. They're not separable. They're exactly the same life-destroying elements. And we do have alternatives that could be immediately implemented.
Well, the other organizations, just to name two, and several of these I'm deeply involved in, Beyond Nuclear.
Yes.
I'm on the board of this organization, wonderful organization based in Tacoma Park, Maryland, is near Washington. And so listeners should just go to beyondnuclear.org, and every day check out that website. what's happening, what you can do. The Nuclear Information and Resource Service, been around now 26 years. Wonderful organization, long led by the late Michael Marriott. I was on their board
again.
Nuclear Information and Resource Service. Just go to NIRS, NIRS.org. The Radiation and Public Health Project, led by Joseph Mangano, an incredible organization. I'm on their board too, and it's very focused on the impacts. I mean, you don't need a catastrophic accident for a nuclear plant to cause death and illness for many, many miles around it. And Radiation Public Health Project for years has documented the clusters, the cancer clusters around nuclear power plants. There's many, many groups. Sierra Club is with Michael Bruhn, is very much involved now in the fight against what's occurring with the Environmental Protection Agency. I mean, in all time in my life, and I've now put on it a good number of years, I know of no period, no time where it's more important for citizen action. And
You know what I will say to that? I think you're absolutely right. And that means that people need to infiltrate these, just like we need to infiltrate the Democratic Party, we need to infiltrate these organizations. Because, yes, while the people at the top are really good, maybe there's just not enough people to make them effective. Because really, honestly, I'm very new. I mean, I'm a very new activist. I'll tell you about this. It's been not even 10 years yet. You know what I mean? 7 years. I found out about Fukushima about 5 years ago. I believed the president when he said we were safe. I grew up next to San Onofre Nuclear Power Plant. I thought it was an observatory. So I consider myself kind of like the average American. I was completely brainwashed, and maybe this is why I've leaned into this. But my take on NIRS, well, not NIRS. NIRS is like the one organization and Beyond Nuclear. But the other ones, the mainstream, those ones that make $800,000, $300,000, millions and millions of dollars, and they haven't actually, for a long time, they have sort of like led things. Why is it that I grew up in California and never heard about anything about the nuclear industry? I'm just gonna say, Carl, and this is me being very frank, we need to lean into it. And I'm not a brand new anti-nuke activist who is angry and yelling at these people and calling them rats, because there are people out there doing that. And it demeans our movement. We need to embrace each other. But when I personally contact these people through emails and talk to them, they're too busy. And maybe they're just understaffed. And the answer is, in order to make these organizations, the massive mainstream organizations to stop the nuclear industry, we need people to call up and become volunteers, not paid people, but just to volunteer 4 hours a week, 3 hours a week to answer emails, to talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, the word I don't think should be infiltrated, just to join. And the more good people join up with these organizations.
Yes, I'm going to send a proposal to these ones that are really on the stick and in the craw of my neck, because I know that Greenpeace International is fabulous. I have a serious craw with Greenpeace in the United States, because I grew up next to San Onofre and thought it was an observatory all my life. And if they're actually out there being and Diablo Canyon is still spewing its pollution into the Pacific for how long? And they're a California-based international, is in California. Their headquarters are there. So as a Californian, I'm kind of spitting nails over their lack of organization and lack of clarity that they need help.
Well,
I don't get it.
I mean,
you're in with these people. The reason I'm speaking with you, frankly, is so that maybe you can communicate this. This is why people are spitting mad and they're shooting arrows at the wrong people. Because really, look at the catastrophic state we're in. Forget Fukushima. 15,000 abandoned uranium mines. 90% cancer rate for Native American men. I mean, the war is ongoing, and it's on our country. Trump is nothing new. Oh, we're freaked out because he's taking our rights. But guess what? They've been attacking us for a long time. They thought that we wouldn't. They thought, oh, and there's a what we call Trumpites. They're just this, they have just been conditioned to take it. They think Trump's good. They feel comforted by the abuser. We have been living with alternative facts since the nuclear industry began. Period. Alternative facts.
Well, it's part of it. That's why I call my first book on nuclear, Cover Up What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear
Which is
Power.
Why that book is a must read. It's a great book. You know what I should do, Carl, if you don't mind? I'm just now finishing a John Goffman reading. Would you mind if I read that book on my YouTube channel?
It would be a pleasure. And in fact, any listener can get a copy of that. And I've mentioned this on your air before.
Yes, you have. Yes.
Just go to my website, carlgrossman.com.
That's right.
Call with a K, Grossman, one word, callgrossman.com, and just click on where it's books. And there you'll see Cover Up. And out of the generosity of the publishing,
it's
the publishing company.
It's the first sentence that you put under books. It's not hard to find books. But you know what I will do?
You can download the entire book for free. No cost.
If I read it on my YouTube channel, I have a handful. I only have like 385 subscribers, but they listen to my videos. Like if I start a reading and I go more than 4 or 5 days, they're like, we're waiting for you to read, which is good, you know?
Well, I put a lot of work, but it's been a year in that book. And that book I wrote I also didn't know much about nuclear early on. I had done a TV show, for channel LIW-TV here on Long Island on nuclear. I went to that Brookhaven National Laboratory, and the scientists there said, these machines have all sorts of redundant systems, and maybe there'd be a minor accident every couple of hundred years. And I juxtaposed that with anti-nuclear people saying, that's not true and so forth. But I kind of didn't know for sure until... Like the saying is, you know, I'm from Missouri, show me. I'm not from Missouri, I'm from New York, but show me. And the Three Mile Island devastation showed me. And that's when I started writing Cover Up What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power. And it begins by my writing, you've not been told, you've not been informed, and that's been part of the plan all along to keep people in the dark. In terms of Three Mile Island Revisited, too, I mentioned it, the Three Mile Island documentary I did, too. Let me mention that's also available for free. It was done by this video enterprise that I'm involved with, Enviro Video. You can also get information about that on my website. Enviro Video did a documentary, one of our earliest documentaries, Three Mile Island Revisited. You can just
probably
Google,
see it on YouTube,
you can watch the whole half-hour show, and you can hear people from that area of Goldsboro, Pennsylvania, those two nuclear power, three-mile nuclear power plants. Unit 2 is the one that came just minutes from a meltdown. And you can hear Robert Pollard, who formerly was with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, an honest inspector, talk about... what happened in that act, what truly happened in that accident and so forth. But in any case, that convinced me, that showed me about the dangers of nuclear power. I jumped in and I wrote that book after extensive research, and I've written books since about nuclear technology. But
let me read this one thing, though, before we move on, because in your introduction, you have this sentence. After you said something about the dark, this is a very telling paragraph you wrote. Yet over the years, clean, safe, renewable technologies have made stupendous gains. Since this book was last published in 1982, Their costs have plummeted and their efficiency skyrocketed. Solar, wind, and other safe, clean technologies today render nuclear power totally unnecessary. They are proven safe. They are proven and safe, waiting to be fully implemented to provide humanity with a bright energy future in harmony with life. In harmony with life, to me, was the key word in that sentence. And yeah, this is where the objection of what we're seeing, what's going on is not in harmony with life, with this whole, I call it the Pinochet era. This, to me, reeks of Pinochet, exactly what happened. This is, in fact, how Pinochet stayed. Do you know they reelected Pinochet? Because he was popular, because nobody trusted the people, like the Democrats. Nobody trusts the Democrats. And this is a planned event. Social scientists ought to see this. I mean, I'm stunned nobody is having this conversation. This is Nixon 2.0, all they're doing.
Well, no, there are people who are, I mean, you pick up the New Yorker magazine, that's a very...
Yeah.
Or no, you pick up Rolling Stone magazine, Washington Post, in fact, is doing an excellent job in calling this arch right wing spade a spade. The New York Times
they've done an excellent job of demeaning. This is the thing, the negative talk about the Washington Post is just a shill. Like the reason our president makes these outlandish statements is he doesn't go to the briefings, he doesn't trust the CIA, he doesn't trust the NSA, he doesn't trust the workings of the government. He considers that the deep state. So he doesn't go to those things, and he listens to seriously citizen investigative journalists who don't have access to a lot of information that the president has at his fingertips. It's astounding that he could actually verify things himself, and yet he doesn't trust that. So,
well, the attack on the press, and I mean, besides being a journalist, I'm a journalism professor of journalism for how many years now? Since 1978, 39 years. And I teach courses in investigative reporting and environmental journalism. And all my life, I've been committed to the ideal of the American free press, and what he's doing is, well, John McCain put it well, Senator John McCain. I may disagree with Senator McCain on many issues, but in terms of Trump calling the press the enemy of the people, as John McCain commented quite accurately, this is the way dictators start. And John McCain is not some left liberal. I mean, this is a conservative Republican.
Well, you know why they don't want to talk about Nixon 2.0 is because really it talks about Nixon actually used the CIA. That's exactly why they don't want to talk. They don't want to point fingers at themselves. The same reason, Carl, that I believe that the nuclear industry refuses to come up and be straight with us, because they know they have caused so much damage. If they just why on earth would Hanford refuse to give the workers protective gear? Why would not the government step in? And it's because they know if they even say it's as bad as it is. I mean, it is literally, unfortunately, there is no battered country shelter to go to. We have to figure, it's like, I actually feel like as a survivor, sort of a thriver of severe child abuse, I feel like this is really what's really happening. Like when you're in that situation and you're a child and there is no government agency coming to help you, you have an 18-year time clock before you get to leave. You're in prison for 18 years. That's what my life felt like as a child. And it was negotiating that. Like, okay, this is why I think people are viscerally affected, because frankly, there are a lot of abused children in this country, a lot of people who have had that experience. There's not a lot of the way our culture, the way we broke up, the lie of war after World War II created a bunch of secrecy. And it has eaten at the core of American democracy. And that's why my whole thing is about love. Love is greater than fear. If we just lean on love and love each other and refuse to be angry when somebody calls us names or says stuff about us, like, just shake it off, understand it's their process. And you know what? Like, if we stick to what we have in this country, which is the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, stick to those higher ideals, we will buoy each other up past the muck. I feel strongly about that.
Well, you know, in terms of Nixon and Reagan and what we've lived through a lot, I've seen nothing as bad as this. And it's just
true
begun.
That.
I mean,
maybe
this is
Nixon 9.0. You were right.
I mean, it's or Reagan. You know, I mean, Reagan was quite a character.
But Reagan backed down a lot. He raised taxes 15 times. He'd drop them, and then he's like, "Oh my God, we're collapsing the country. We have to raise taxes."
Well,
and then
they
try it again, and they collapse.
Yeah.
This time, this is what Trump and Ryan care. This is what this is about. They don't care. What they're telling us is they don't care if people die. Sorry. You should have thought about that before you didn't get an education, right? Before you couldn't buy health care. Sorry, you're poor. I mean, what did Michelle Bachmann tell us in her presidential run? Americans just need to get used to having, you know, if the rest of the world is paying $3 an hour, maybe that's what we should be doing. Maybe that should be our minimum wage.
This is, again, very, very dark times.
Yeah.
It's just the end of March. We've not even gotten to 100 days of this nightmare. And I have to stress that people have to get involved.
Yes.
And I mean, just look what happened in the Netherlands. And there was great concern that a Dutch Trump would get elected in the Netherlands. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And it looks right now that there's going to be a green left majority in Holland, in the Netherlands. I mean, we have to use what power we have. You mentioned Pinochet, and it's so important to understand that was a military takeover of the nation of Chile.
But it
and
wasn't
people,
really. That
people
was
couldn't do anything.
That was a fake. I mean, what they did was they built up the military before the CIA pounced the military on Allende and took over. This time, they didn't do a violent militaristic takeover. They just bamboozled us by stealing, you know, squirming him in. There's information out there that says he didn't actually. What they did, the Russians, was they gave one quarter of every Hillary vote to Trump. That's how he squeaked out. So that is what I've heard has come from their investigations inside government. Now, are they going to upset the apple cart and redo? You think those Republicans are going to recall the vote? Heck no. They finally get to bring their plan to America and impoverish America and take. When people are poor, it's very difficult to assert your rights.
That's true. That's true.
So this is why they're doing it. Let's be very clear. That's why the poor people come here, because even here, if you're poor, you can still go to court and win. We have good judicial system at the heart of it, at the base level. Many people will go to court and still have justice in this country. You know, people complain about we're a lawless society. We're not. I mean, I guess it gets to the core, Carl, of do you believe in having government or, you know, a federal government? And people only believe we should only have states' rights, but then we don't have the United States if the government is just there for what? What's the federal government there for? What's the Constitution about? Then we'd all be into. It's like these people that were behind Betsy DeVos's plan of, we're going to take those horrible Department of Education people, and we're going to just let states decide what they need. Really, what about the poor states that don't have money?
Well, again, I don't want to sound like I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but I've been around a long time in this country, and we've been through some very tough times in terms of leadership. Never as tough as this, but the people of this country, not the Trumpites, not the Trumpsters, but the majority of people in this country believe in democracy. And
that's right.
And they believe in what this country was, this experiment in democracy was based on, and the checks and balance system and so forth and so on. And we don't have a Pinochet in charge in the sense that this is not a military dictatorship as of today. And we have to use what democratic avenues are available, and plenty are available. Look what these courts just did in regard to his second immigration order. Undid it. So we just have to, everybody has to jump into this and get active, whether it's politically, whether it's environmentally, whether it's a question of press freedom, because this guy's coming after the press. I mean, we've not even spoken today about what he said about libel law and how he'd like to widen libel law to punish reporters who say terrible things. I mean, on essentially every issue imaginable, Trump and his gang are doing just horrible things, and the American public have to resist, have to rise, and have to resist, and get active. We must all get active in every way we can on whatever the issue that we're concerned about. Whether it's his gutting of Medicaid, get active on that, and there's groups jumping into that. Whether it's issues of women's rights, and you got to remember that women's march, right after, with the inauguration, and after the inauguration, that was an enormous outpouring of how people, biggest demonstration period in Washington. So I think that there is
every activist I knew said this is the biggest demonstration we have ever seen, because it was spontaneous. People took to the streets. People were like, wait a minute, you know what? And hopefully all those people that took to the streets are figuring out a way to get involved. And I still think this is a good idea for people to call up NEARS, Beyond Nuclear, volunteer their time, offer to volunteers a little bit of time every week, because really we need these organizations to grow, because they do push back at the top level. This is the good thing about them being big organizations and political, big. They get big money because they're in with, like, Trump. Do you think that, somebody without money would get in to see Trump? Heck no. But somebody like Greenpeace, the head of the Greenpeace of the USA, could make a plan to get in to see them if we all actively engage and, let them know that this is much more important than... I really think we need to marry the coal, anti-coal thing and the anti-nuke thing together, because if we could do that, we would have such a strong force, and we would have such a conversion to renewable as quickly as possible, I think.
And please, we got to remember the anti-fracking movement. Yeah. I mean, any listener who has not seen Gasland, One or Gasland Two, done by Josh Fox, see those films, because the cover-up. Speaking of cover-ups, on fracking, right, on hydraulic fracturing, and what I mean, one of the bases for this Trump gang energy policy is to expand fracking and do it on public land as well.
You bet.
And the consequences, the impacts on water, on public health.
Well, you don't have to argue. I think a lot of people listening to this radio show know this. Carl, we have about 40 seconds. It certainly has been delightful. Thank you for being a willing listener to my frank conversation about the anti-nuclear movement. I hope you'll join us again. I really appreciate your cool head, your professionalism. And anybody, please do go to carlgrossman.com. I am going to read the copy of your book. Carl, I can't tell you how grateful I am. It's a delight to get to know you. Thank you so much.
Sure, Lonnie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. And you guys, please do lean into this. Put your courage feet on. Take action. Find something. Get involved in something.